Now, it gives me great pleasure to welcome all here tonight. I say that as a personal welcome on behalf of myself and my brother, Mr. Smith, here, and also on behalf of the conveners of the conference and of this gospel meeting. They are very glad to see all who have come, and we want you to be assured of the warmest of welcomes, whether you're a frequenter of gospel meetings, or if this should be your first time at such an occasion, you're welcome here, and we have been praying and are praying for the Lord's blessing upon each one. Thank you for coming. Now, there are a few announcements before we read from the Bible, the Word of God. Tonight, in the South Burnaby Gospel Hall at 9 o'clock, there will be a ministry meeting and a hymn sing. And that meeting will be addressed in ministry by our brother, Mr. David Alves. And the next meeting in this auditorium will be tomorrow morning in the will of God at 10 o'clock. And that meeting will be a Bible reading, a Bible study, that will be conducted by our brother, Mr. Tom Bentley. And the passage of the Word of God to be considered will be the second portion of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, commencing at verse 26 to verse 39. Now again, thank you for coming, and we trust the Lord's blessing will be upon this meeting. Now I'd like to read from the Word of God, from the Bible, in the Gospel according to John, and chapter 3. John's Gospel, and chapter 3. The first verse will be verse 3, John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, again, the words of the Lord Jesus, Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. And again, the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And at the end of the chapter, in verse number 35, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's all the scripture reading that I expect to take at the commencement of the meeting, we trust, with the Lord's blessing. I sometimes call this chapter from which we have taken our reading, John chapter 3, I call it the millennium chapter of the Bible. It so happens that our Bible has been divided into 1,189 chapters, and it also so happens that this chapter is chapter 1,000. And it seems to me that it's a very special chapter. Every chapter of the Bible is special. But when it comes to gospel preaching, and when it comes to being right with God, John chapter 3 is the great millennium chapter. It's a chapter that gives us very vital and valuable instruction in these great matters. When you're out doing shopping and so on, one of the The marketing techniques that we often encounter is two in one. Two for the price of one, or maybe a package of two being sold as one. And what I want to do tonight, and I trust that you will be able to follow me, I'll do my best to make it that you can follow me easily. I want to speak about a number of two in ones that are either directly mentioned or at least suggested by this passage. The first is two births in one life. That might surprise you. Two births in one life. I have two birthdays. Back in Northern Ireland, just in the city of Belfast, you could find a birth certificate with the name of David Gilliland inscribed upon it. And on the date which that birth certificate records, I was born into the Gilliland family. But then, there is another date, and the certificate of my second birth is not to be found on earth. My second birth is recorded in heaven. And on the date of that second birth, the boy who a number of years ago was born into the Gilliland family was by that second birth born into God's family. That second birth took place on the 24th of June in the year 1970. I cannot forget it. It was a great experience. It was a royal birth, and I was brought into the kingdom of God. Thank God for the two births in my one lifetime. Tell me, dear friend, have you the second birth? Everyone here tonight, and the majority of the audience, is unknown to me. But everyone here tonight, you have already had the first birth. Otherwise, you would not be here. And the first birth, my dear friend, has equipped you for earth. But can I ask you, on the calendar of your life, can you identify the day when you had the second birth and you were made ready for heaven? And if you have two births, a natural birth and a spiritual birth, it agrees with the words of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus said it would be a very nice thing if you were born again. Jesus said it would be advisable if you were born again. Jesus made the suggestion that people should consider. Not at all, my dear friend. Jesus, the Lord from heaven, he said, ye must. Ye must be born again. Dear friend, you don't need to be Canadian to go to heaven. You don't have to be Irish to go to heaven. You don't have to be religious to go to heaven. You don't have to be educated to go to heaven. You don't have to be wealthy to go to heaven. But I say tonight, in order to have a place in God's kingdom, Jesus said, ye must be born again. There must be a change. We were born the first time as sinners. We were born as children of Adam. We are guilty and lost. And, dear friend, inside the course of each person's life, there must be a second birth. Some of you younger friends here tonight, I commend to you, set your heart upon the second birth, a beautiful girl, the pride and joy of your grandparents. You are the center of the family's attention and attraction. A lovely girl, you must be born again. Is there an older gentleman tonight in the meeting? and you have grey hairs upon your head and lived a careful life with honour and integrity, but you're not saved. My older friend, you must. Jesus said, you must be born again. And we will be wanting to tell you how it can happen before you leave this very meeting. It's not just, dear friend, that you must be born again. Blessed be God with a thousand thanks. On the very seat where you sit tonight, you can be born again. And the change can happen in your very soul in a moment of time. May God grant that souls will be born even in this very gospel meeting. Two births in one life. A birth for earth, a birth for heaven. A birth that is natural, a birth that is spiritual. My dear friend, you must be born again. The second two-in-one that I want to speak about, suggested by what we have read tonight, is two testaments in one book. I'm not sure whether or not you're acquainted with this book. The book that I hold in my hand is the Word of God. This book, dear friend, is not just another religious book. This book is the book of books. This book stands apart and distinct. This book never has and never will make a mistake. In this book there are two parts. I just say this to help you to navigate the great book that is called the Bible, the Word of God. There is an Old Testament and there is a New Testament. Between the 37 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament, there lies a space of about 400 years. But the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament, they together make the 66 books of the complete Bible. And my dear people, let me say that what my brother beside me will be preaching, and I trust what I preach is based upon the Bible. We are not propagating personal opinions. You could discount them and shrug your shoulders and give them a pass. We are announcing what the Bible says, and this book has no mistakes. You know, one of the great wonders of the Bible, even though there are two parts, it is one volume. And what holds the Bible together? Do you know what it is? It's the glorious person of God's beloved Son. You know what the main message of the Old Testament is? The main message of this part of my Bible is this: to tell the world that a Savior is coming. You see, this part of my Bible, the New Testament, the main message of that is to tell the world that he has come. Dear friend, God made promises to tell the world that a Savior who would deliver us from our sins would soon be arriving. Bless the day that the Holy Son of God ever touched planet Earth at Bethlehem. And the one who was promised in the Old Testament, he arrived. You know, the Old Testament said when he would come. The Old Testament said where he would come to. Hundreds of years before it happened. And let me tell you, dear people, he came to the very place. And he came at the very time. And 700 years before he ever arrived, the Old Testament said his mother would be a virgin. And when the Son of God touched earth by means of that holy nativity, he left the virgin's womb, the sinless Savior. Just exactly as the Bible said. You know, in this very gospel, The Lord Jesus made a statement. He said, the scripture cannot be broken. You younger folks, in a world that is awash with modernism and all the ideas of humanism, the Bible has been banned, and the Bible has been burned, and the Bible has been belittled for centuries. But let me say, the book is with us still. And dear friend, the Bible will never be broken. And my dear friend, you need a book that will tell you the truth. And you need a book upon which you can plant your feet with certainty. And I say tonight, there's a great book. The Bible. Two parts in one book. And I commend to you tonight to listen to the Word of God. We are in a world where we are being bombarded by all kinds of communications. The world of multimedia. Messages are bouncing off satellites positioned around our globe out in space. We are constantly being bombarded by a blizzard of different messages. But in this meeting, may God grant that we listen to what God says. Younger people, older friend, you take the Bible. The Bible can't save you, but the Bible is the book that tells you how you can be saved. And the Bible is the book that tells us why we need to be saved. And the Bible's the book that tells us when we are saved. And it makes us sure. Bless God, two births in one life. Two testaments in one book. Now, I want to ask you to think, because I'm going to speak to you for about 4 or 5 minutes about something that I can't explain. It's beyond anyone here. And yet it's one of the greatest facts of history. I want to speak to you about two natures in one person. Now that might sound strange to some of you, but dear friend, it's one of the greatest doctrines that I ever heard. You know, the Lord Jesus is described in this passage of the Bible as God's only begotten Son. And he's also described as the Son of Man. There was one person who stepped across the stage of human history, and there have been about 60 billion of them. And out of the 60 billion, dear friend, the most were very alike. Some were a little better than others, and a little wiser, and a little stronger. But there was one person moved across the stage of time, was unique. He was God and man in one person. There was a day in this very gospel when he sat upon a well. And the Bible tells us he was tired and he was thirsty. There's a day in this very gospel when he stood at a grave and the tears fell down upon his cheek. And when he stood at that grave and tears were on his face, with a single word of his lips, dear friend, he brought a man out of the grave that had been dead for 4 days. He was God. And he was man. The blessed Savior. He was one who was the creator of angels. We sing little words of poetry that are Bible-based. Verily God, yet become truly human, lower than angels to die in our stead. Let me take the dear folks here tonight to the cross. It's good to be at Vancouver. I've enjoyed my visit here. It has been a privilege to be in this great city, but I would like to leave Vancouver tonight, and we'll go from here to Calvary. The one, dear friend, who was the everlasting God, And the one who became sinless man and was God and man in one person. You know, there was a day when he was lifted up upon the cross. He spoke about it here. He said, as Moses, he referred to the Old Testament. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I can't explain it. You see, the man who died at Calvary, when I was a boy, I used to hear the preachers back in Ireland, and they used to say something like this. They said, God cannot die. But the man who died was God. And that's why, dear friend, he can be your Savior. Upon the cross, he died for you. And he died for me. And he died for all. And his work has eternal and universal power, because the one who died was the Son of God. The Son of God, said the Apostle Paul, who loved me and gave himself for me. If there's someone here has come along to this auditorium, and as you came through the door, weighing upon your heart was a burden of sin, dear friend, you can find that burden relieved tonight. You look to the cross and not only think about the pain that he suffered, but think about the person who suffered. And there was only one person who could suffer the pain and who could pay the penalty. And he paid the penalty in full. And by his precious blood, there's a pardon offered to every person in this auditorium. I tell you, he's a great Savior, and I commend him to you. In fact, I'll just take a minute to tell you this. I have a friend of a number of years ago who spends a lot of his time in France. And he became acquainted with a gentleman who lived in the south of France. This gentleman knew nothing about this book. And he had within his heart a desire to find God. He was a driving instructor and quite wealthy. So what he decided, he said, I will take a month in Paris, 30 days in the city of Paris. He said, I will try every religion that I can find in that large city, and if I find God, well and good, and if I don't find God when I meet him at the last judgment, I'll tell him, I did my best, but I couldn't find you. He came to Paris. Every day he started early in the morning, worked till late in the evening, traveled through, tried every religion, every philosophy, every system of belief. He could find no satisfaction for his conscience, no forgiveness for his sins, no peace for his heart. The very day that he was heading back for the train station to go back down to his work, as he rounded the last corner, he stumbled across a man who was selling Bibles. The man talked to him for about 5 minutes. He bought a Bible, went back to the south of France. On the Monday morning, he was out with his first lesson, his first pupil, driving instructor. She said to him, I haven't seen you for a while. Oh, he said, I was away looking for God. Well, she said, how did you get on? He said, I searched for God for a month. And he said, I couldn't find him. He says, in fact, the last day, he said, I was coming home there. I met a strange character. And he said, he gave me a Bible. And he said, he was telling me a story in the Bible about Moses away in the Old Testament lifted a serpent up on the pole. And the people that looked to that serpent, they got healing and physical life. And then he said, he told me that in the New Testament, Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He says, where do you hear this? He told me that just as people that looked to the serpent got physical life, if we put our trust in the Jesus who was lifted up on the cross, we get eternal life. He hit the front of the car. He said to the lady, I've got it. I've got it! He said, you talk about an emergency stop. The man got saved and set his heart upon it. And it was the Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, who died upon the cross, that gave to that man the peace which no other religion could give to him. Dear friend, you need Christ. And Christ is here tonight to be your Savior. I commend him to you. Greater than men, greater than gurus, greater than any religious teacher, greater than prophets, greater than angels. Thank God for his beloved Son. Two natures in one person. Let me speak to you about two destinies in one eternity. You see, this is not it. After this short, small, little world, there's a big world. It's large. It never ends. Dear friend, when you go to dust in the ground, or when you go to ashes in the crematorium, there'll be a part of you that will never go to dust and will never turn to ashes. I see every human being scattered abroad across this auditorium, and each one of us is an individual bound for eternity. Oh, you say, well, I think on the other side we'll all gather in one great big happy home and we'll be happy forever. If that were true, dear friend, I would go away tonight a very happy person. But this Bible tells me that in that other world there's a place called heaven. And there's a place called hell. The people in heaven enjoy eternal life. And the word that's used in this passage about the people in hell is that they perish. Oh, I want to appeal to you all. Tell me, dear people, each one of you answer the question, is it going to be heaven? Or is it going to be hell? Forever. 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 The millions of those ages will ceaselessly roll their waves across every soul forever. Oh, to have heaven forever, the society of the redeemed, the sunshine of Christ. But dear people, I say to be in the Gehenna of hell forever. Amongst the demons and the damned and the lost. There's another world. There's no purgatory in the Bible. There's no limbo. Dear people, two destinations in the great eternity. In which will you be? May God grant tonight you'll take stock of your situation. You'll locate yourself. And if you have never had the change that I was speaking about, may the Lord grant you'll have it. Two births in one life. Two testaments in one book. Two natures in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. Two destinies in the one eternity. And as I sit down, I want to speak to you for a minute about two classes in the one meeting. Here we have one meeting. Here we're all in one room. There are only two classes in, don't talk nonsense. We have different nationalities here. We have people here from different walks of life. We have people that live in different suburbs. Don't be talking nonsense. We have many classes here. No, dear friend. There's a very comfortable class in this meeting. And there's a very uncomfortable class. Let me quote the text of my reading. And as I quote this text, you tell me in your soul, without speaking out, you tell me which part of it you fit into. A comfortable class and a most, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Tell me, dear people, are you a believer on the Son? Or are you an unbeliever? It's great to be amongst those that are trusting in Christ. It's dreadful to be amongst those that are rejecting Christ and living in unbelief. It's not a good class. It's not a good class, dear friend. You're not traveling to eternity. And who you say is an economy class. It's not even economy class. It's a disaster to be traveling to eternity as an unbeliever. And the only thing I want to tell you as I stop is this. Do you see if you're in the wrong class? You can change it. Right now. I wonder, as my brother steps forward to this podium, I want to ask a question. Is there a sinner? Lost? Unworthy? Helpless? Just deserving judgment? A sinner in Vancouver, this place tonight, that will say, I will trust Christ as my Savior now. And dear friend, if you put your trust in him, you will pass out from the class of unbelievers and you'll be amongst those that believe in the happy class that are on their way to be with God and be with Christ forevermore. Thank you for your good attention. Listen to this good man. Two in one. Two births in one life. Two testaments in one great book. Two natures in one glorious person, two destinies in one long eternity, and two classes in this one meeting. May God bless you and save your soul for eternity.